Hello, I'm Kevin Keith. In this episode of Skeptical Ethics, we'll look at the way moral issues often arise in public discourse and the challenge that presents to skeptical and reason-based approaches to cultural controversies. Before we start, let me remind listeners that the Skeptical Ethics series attempts to apply skeptical reasoning to value-based issues such as moral or cultural controversies. New listeners, or those who want to review the basic conceptual grounding of that enterprise, may wish to download the first Skeptical Ethics segment, Does Skepticism Lead to Agreement?, which appeared in Episode 2 of the Skeptical Connections podcast, and the second segment, Moral Agreement Among Skeptics, from Episode 3 of Skeptical Connections, for useful background. In most societies, and in the United States in particular, there is never-ending contention over a huge range of cultural or public policy issues. Such controversies and cultural battles come in many forms. One example is the recurrent debate over whether U.S. senators should enjoy the privilege of using threatened filibusters to block legislation, a controversy which hinges on purely internal procedural issues of an elected body which changes membership every 2 years. This is as purely political an issue as could be imagined, but it has sweeping implications for almost every legislative and political issue of the day. Another example is the continuing controversy over procedures for dealing with illegal immigration into the United States. This is a seemingly prudential issue of immigration policy and law enforcement, but it rolls up contentious questions of labor policy, race, and, in no way coincidentally, electoral dynamics into a highly charged and ongoing fight. Of course, abortion continues to be an intractable controversy, ranging across multiple fronts of legislation, advocacy, and public agitation. This is an issue that many would agree has important moral dimensions, but it is also one that attaches to and is used as a point of leverage in other struggles, such as healthcare and reproductive health policy generally, the status and role of women in society, public funding for healthcare and social services, and the role of religious values in setting public policy. The reasons people advocate for a certain position on a certain issue no doubt often have to do with a sincere conviction regarding that issue. But we see that the grounds of controversy, political principle, practical policy, or moral principle, may be various. Such grounds may also overlap in many issues. That brings us to the question of motivation for political or cultural activism, and what significance that issue has for skeptics, and in moral terms. It may seem as if the question of motivation shouldn't matter. If there are two sides to an issue, and one of them is right and one is wrong, what matters is to identify the right side and support it. And such support is a good thing, regardless of whether it's sincere, self-interested, or entirely disingenuous. And to a great degree, this is no doubt true. We expect controversy in an open and democratic society. But every controversy comes at a cost, of time and energy, and of the danger each threatens to those who would be at risk if the controversy were to resolve in the wrong way, as is always a possibility in a democracy. As skeptics, we want policies to be based on rational grounds, bolstered where appropriate by empirical truths. And the heart of skepticism, critical questioning of beliefs or propositions, is justified by the perception that rational truth is arrived at through the process of critical examination in light of facts and logic, and that positions that are not arrived at or cannot be defended in that way cannot be known to be true and are likely to be false. Both these positions, that beliefs and policies should be rationally defensible, and that true beliefs and best policies are identified by rational examination, are motivated by a devotion to truth, which I'm sure most skeptics would agree is also a prerequisite to good and moral policy. For that reason, it's relevant to skeptics and vital to a clear understanding of the basis for and defensibility of policy proposals on controversial issues to understand how and why the contending positions were arrived at, and how and why they are defended. And that leads us to the feature of public controversy that motivated this segment of Skeptical Ethics, the inflation of moral controversy out of mere preference or opinion, and its uncritical acceptance in the public discourse. As I mentioned, some public controversies have a moral dimension, and it's a matter of moral significance that we understand them correctly and come to the best possible resolution. But as I also mentioned, many controversies are created around issues that don't stand examination, either as a way of creating leverage on other issues, or as a way of serving the advocates' personal or political interests. And one of the best ways to create controversy and generate public interest is to couch an issue in moral language, preferably in the terminology of moral scandal. This is not to suggest that moral controversies are not real. There are many important such controversies. And it is not to say even that incorrect or hyperbolic statements of moral horror are necessarily dishonest. In fact, I'm sure that they are often sincere. But there is a tendency in public discourse, certainly in the United States, to elevate many issues to the level of moral indignation, either for reasons of the personal perspective of the advocate or for political advantage, when they are in fact simple matters of prudential or political policy or mere personal preference. The most common such scenario, in my impression, is when the issue at hand is a question of personal preference motivated by religious belief, which is then packaged by the advocate in terms of alleged moral principles, which are in fact merely parochial tenets of the advocate's particular religious tradition. An example is the political lobbying of the Catholic Church on every issue touching gays, including marriage, adoption, membership in the Boy Scouts, and everything else. Two claims are invariably made. First, that some vague but terrible practical consequences will result from increasing political equality for gay people. And second, that it is simply morally wrong to allow gays to do the things straights can do. If the consequential claims were true, they would at least be worth taking seriously. But moral claims can be taken seriously only if they derive from legitimate moral principle, principles grounding in the logic of the ways people treat each other, for good or for bad, and the meanings of those terms, not simply from rules or traditions that people happen to hold fervently. Many people take their moral cues from their religious beliefs, but religious morality is morality in name only. It sometimes provides guidance in areas of moral import, but that guidance is not itself grounded in morality, at least for revealed or dogmatic religions. How can I make this sweeping statement? The answer is trivial. Different religions have different moral teachings, but it is universally a value in a free society that people may hold to any arbitrary religious tradition, that it is not morally wrong on its face to adhere to any particular religious belief regardless of what its teachings may be, and the fact that two people adhere to different religions does not by itself make one of them immoral. That can only be true if we don't take religious teachings seriously as moral propositions, as in fact we don't. In fact, we hold people to be immoral for adhering to certain moral teachings, such as violent or misogynistic ones, even though they are religious in origin. But this means that such teachings are also not definitive of moral controversies in the public sphere. That is, the mere fact that one group of people is very upset about something, on grounds that they call moral for religious reasons, is not evidence that there is in fact a moral issue at hand, or that the religiously motivated position on that issue is one that deserves to be taken seriously. Advocacy of that kind is at best an expression of personal preference, a preference to have one's own personal religious beliefs enacted as policy for everyone else. Skeptics should be particularly attuned to this common tactic of the elevation of personal religious preferences to the level of true controversy. Religious teachings, precisely because they cannot be mandatory in a free society, are not ground for universal moral truths. The claim that they are the moral ground for a public policy proposal is evidence in itself of irrational and groundless contention over issues that deserve skeptical and rational treatment. Or, as I like to put it, the religious obsessions of religious obsessives are not the same as actual ethical issues. I'd be glad to hear your responses and comments directed to skepticalconnections.com.